Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Stop! Vic Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown! Oh, my goodness!
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man, happy Monday. Glad that you are listening. A chance to win another $1,000 is coming up here in about 10 minutes, so stay tuned. We were talking about the Braves before we get into the Falcons and the draft, guys. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the pitching and, you know, the fact that the bats are heating up right now. But one of the guys we mentioned was Folty.
Yeah, by the way, looking at the numbers, a bunch of Folty guys, not the dude asked for the autograph for the Chick-fil-A that day, Carl, down in Orlando. They texted and said, look, he's actually just had hard luck. And you go look at the numbers. I overstated. It's not like Folty's not doing the job, so let's be fair to the guy. He's 0-3. He's allowed 4 runs, just 1 earned on 4 hits over the last 6 innings. That was the loss in Milwaukee. And he's actually just basically been a victim of a lack of run support. So I don't want to be that unfair. And a number of people say that they feel Dansby is knocking on the door and is turning it around.
I hope he is.
Okay, we'll see.
It is more mental than anything. Dansby's been hitting balls all his life. And when you get to the bigs, you're facing the best of the best of the best. And that's what happens. You go into slumps.
Wait, was this Men in Black?
The best of the best of the best. And that's what happens, man. And sometimes you go into slumps, but the great ones, and he's going to be a great one, guys. You work yourself out of it, and then you get back on track. And at the end of the year, when everything evens out, right, you look at what he's done, and I guarantee you he'll be right where he should be. But this is one of those stretches, young in his career, where you got to fight through this stuff, and you can't let it affect your fielding. As you said, you hope they don't go hand in hand.
Unbelievable. Derek Jeter got dragged down to 8-1s, too. It happened. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell, man. Let's talk about the Falcons, bro. And we got some interesting information from D. Orlando Lidbetter, or do you think that maybe we all knew this was coming? We've got to expect it. He's thinking it's going to be later than sooner for us to see the next big thing we hope on our defense, and that's Tack McKinley.
Yeah, he was selected 26th overall. You know the story by now. The Falcons moved to go get him. We had him on the show Friday. We really enjoy the young man, and I think he's got an infectious kind of spirit and personality that you can buy into, and you understand why if you know his story, at least the history of his story. Now, with that said, he's got to come into the NFL like all these guys and prove it. Mm-hmm. But how soon is he going to get a chance to prove it? And according to D. Orlando Ledbetter, he says it could be potentially week 5 before we see Tack McKinley. Now, Jarvis behind the glass running the board, ATR executive producer, was pointing out earlier that, you know, with the new pup list, which is unable to perform, all right, list that you can put guys on so that you can save a roster spot and still allow this guy to come back. Now you could put him on that shortened pup list, Mike, and he could return, you know, maybe at the midway point. Because, again, if in fact that is true, and we're not saying it is, we're just simply passing the information on, how does he practice? How does he go through the physical contact stuff of camp?
Right.
Not being able to really play. And so that would be a concern when you talk about this kind of injury. I hope that it's the better of the worst, or better, you know, a quicker return. I hope that he is in camp and is able to play, Mike, and maybe it's week 2, not week 5.
As we said earlier in the show, man, there's no substitute for the actual physical contact, getting out there, seeing what you can do at the next level. But fans are going to want to see him out there. They're going to want to see the big fella, you know, doing his thing other than signing autographs with one arm. But this is why I think I'm trying to think, Jarvis, why we didn't talk more about this guy before the draft.
Well, it was the injury.
Yeah, I mean,
knocked him off.
Yeah. Other than Mike Mayock saying maybe the Falcons would take a flyer on McKinley, we didn't really, you know, it was all about other guys that went sooner. Charles Harris, we talked about, and you wanted Barnett from Tennessee. But once I got to see the guy's tape, and you hear the infectious conversation they had, you know, all amped up. And by the way, Carl, no fine. Find me later. Don't have to worry about that.
Thank goodness. The NFL decides that there will be no fine issued for Tack McKinley. It's the right decision. A young man drafted. It's an emotional time. And, you know, to say what he said, I think it was heartfelt. It wasn't rehearsed. It wasn't
find me later, man.
It wasn't something he came out with and, you know, was trying to make a scene. This was all what was in this young man's heart. I think the NFL made the right decision.
Ian Rappaport from NFL Network reporting that. And it's just, again, and I think if you want to get legal, if you want to split hairs, or until he signs his contract, is he an NFL employee?
Well, that's a good question.
Employee? I don't know. I mean, did he really break a law? But now here's the other thing. Thomas Dimitroff on Friday, the interview with John and Rick, they feel he's going to be ready to go talking about Tack McKinley.
I know.
And the Falcons, I mean, no disrespect to D, and you'll hear the D-led conversation, but when D was like D Downer today, man, talking about Tack. We're like, no, he'll be there week one. No.
I don't know what you're getting about this.
Tack McKinley not playing in week one or two, man.
Well, you know what's funny, Mike, is he went to the combine. He still ran a 4.5. He still put 225 up 24 times with one arm. You know, his vertical leap was 33 inches. He still did everything everybody expected, even though he was hurt. And I don't know if you remember this. At the combine, everybody was trying to find out, Tack, how injured are you? And he kept saying, I'm fine. I'm fine.
24 reps of 225 with one good arm.
You know, so.
I mean, we know he's got a high pain threshold. We've seen that. He's talked about it. He talked about us, talked about it with us in the interview. That, you know, he's a guy that the injuries are not an issue for him. Obviously, the Falcons think he's going to be ready to go sooner than later, but D's maybe got some other information out there. I don't know. The virtual D-led, where'd you get this information about a long recovery for Tack?
Well, you know, sometimes I get my information from Life University.
A chiropractor told you this.
Well, you never know with me, Mike and Carl. You know how I get down. I got to get my flow on.
Yes, got to get the flow.
So apparently he's getting his flow on at Life College, Carl. University, the fact that that's where the inside source.
So that's one of the things we're going to keep an eye out on, guys, and be talking about. And hopefully as time goes on, we'll know more about the injury and how he's recovering. And we'll ask Coach Quinn about it as well and see where that's at. Meanwhile, what else do you make of this draft, man? They pick up Duke Riley in the third round, linebacker who played next to Deion Jones at LSU. And then they go get an offensive guard in Sean Harlow out of Oregon.
Start with LSU. Did you see that video a couple of guys posted here in Atlanta of an LSU fan losing his mind? He's a Saints fan. That Duke Riley was coming here to Atlanta. He's like, Saints will never win another game against the Falcons. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
This guy really likes himself some Duke Riley.
Yeah. Put them two boys together and it's over.
But Duke Riley's got speed side to side, 1 year as a starter, special teams contributor, and depth at linebacker. So, look, I mentioned this with D-Led when he was on with us. A couple of years ago, Carl, it was Joplo Bartu and Paul Warlow.
Right.
I mean, as your backups. And we need depth. We've got to get better there. They obviously like what they see. And, like, I will never doubt what Dan Quinn does with his defensive picks based on last year's draft. I think we're in a good spot. I like this kid. Everything I've seen from the video and a few, you know, Saints fans losing their mind over it doesn't hurt either.
Guys, when you talk about the draft and our needs, the only thing we did not draft was a safety. We got an O lineman, a D lineman, a cornerback, and a linebacker. Right? We didn't go into this draft going, I don't know. We're a pretty good team, and we needed to fill a couple of holes. Now, we asked D-Led this. You'll hear it coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Does Dan Quinn and Chris Morgan, the O-line coach, believe that they have that guy already on the roster? If you do, and this is what I've said all along, and I think they did, then you don't have to take an offensive lineman in the first round. You go get the edge rusher, McKinley. You go get a linebacker slash special teams guy. And I'm going to tell you again, Duke Riley's a hybrid kind of guy. He can do a variety of things for you. So you can put him in a bunch of different things on your team, and he can help you out. And then you draft an O-lineman, a guard, and Sean Harlow, who has a toughness about him. That's all. A buddy of mine, Lance Zerlin, I called him over the weekend. He said, the kid is tough. I didn't watch enough Oregon games to pinpoint Sean Harlow, but he fits the mold of what Dan Quinn likes.
If you got Oregon State tape out there, you're a big Beaver fan, and you know what this guy is about. Apparently, everything you've read, to Carl's point, all the different breakdowns say he's a tackle, but he projects as a guard, but he's got a physical nature. And again, there's an archetype we're looking for on both sides of the football. You got to be tough. And you got to be physical, fast and physical. That's what they're looking for. So this guy projects well to what we're going to be doing with the zone blocking scheme. And apparently in the mind of some of the scouts out there and some of the NFL.com breakdowns, it was a good value for the Falcons.
Now, the corner we went and got in the 5th round, all right, DeMonte Casey out of San Diego State. Did not know a lot about him, Mike. Again, San Diego State kid, West Coast. Unless you're staying up late, and sometimes I do. When you're up late after midnight.
Time out. The only reason you're watching a San Diego State game is you're Las Vegas and you got a bet in it, you got crushed.
So
in the
why
early
are you looking
games.
At me? Why are you looking at
Let's
me?
Let's be honest. That's when you're watching those Oregon games in September, trying to get a late night cover. But anyway, no, I'm not familiar with the guy. But the scouting report again goes back to what Dan Quinn's looking for.
And the other guy, running back out of Wyoming. We've talked a lot about him today, Brian Hill. But I want you to hear the intro for when they decided to go corner.
him. I mean, he's a guy who's played corner, got his hands on a lot of balls. He's got really nice ball skills. He's a very quick underneath guy who is really, really aggressive, comes up to support very well in the run game, also has a really good knack of locating the ball. He's a smart football player. Again, he's one of those guys that I think is going to fit in with our secondary and our defense. And you know, Dan's style and Marquand Manuel's style of playing defense is going to be – he fits right in with that group.
Now, a lot of guys aware of this, I guess they heard it over the weekend, as many of you did, that the thought is the Falcons want to play him at safety as well.
Well, he's only going to get a shot at it. Well, it goes back to certainly you look at the size of the guy and you look what Dan Quinn is looking for as far as that multiplicity. Can you play in the dime, play in the nickel, and you play some safety? So there you go. Ricardo Allen's job is not at stake just yet, but this guy will have a chance to compete.
Yeah. So with that said, guys, you know, this draft overall, D. Orlando Ledbetter gave it a B+. Kind of agree with him. And the reason why you don't give it an A is, again, the uncertainty of whether or not McKinley is going to be able to play for you week one. If we knew that from the jump, mm-hmm. I think this is an A draft simply based on filling the needs that we had.
And then you just joked around about watching San Diego State football. Not sure how much you watch from Wyoming.
Yeah.
But the kid, Brian Hill, you see the tape? You see the little highlight
package? Big boy, man. 6'1", 220?
And runs with some, I mean, they say that he's going to need space to make that, you know, he needs to be a downhill runner. But when you got the zone blocking scheme and you got an alley shooting for the guy to, you know, take the shot and go down the field. I don't know if this is an insurance policy in case he gets weird with Devontae and his representatives. This guy could also, I guess, technically could be a fullback. They say he can handle the blocking assignment. We've also got two guys on the roster listed as fullbacks. But this is a nice change of pace, perhaps, to what we've got with our guy. He's a violent runner, and if you look at the tape, it's pretty cool. He's also, by the way, from the wrong side of the tracks in St. Louis. Hungry kid.
Yep.
You know, this gets back to the kind of, there's a style of player, and I'm not trying to read too much in this, but Jarvis and I were talking about it earlier. We're getting some really tough kids, and I love it. I mean, I love the edge and the attitude we got on some of the players we've been bringing in here the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I want to say this, too. First of all, and this is not, I don't want to overstate this, because we've said it a lot, and I know I certainly have. You got to be tough to be in the NFL, period.
Mm-hmm.
But as we continue to talk about guys like McKinley, and you just brought up Brian Hill, I think that we're talking more about the edge that they bring. You know, Sean Harlow, different backgrounds, but there's an edge when they play, Mike. And that's what you see. Harlow's the kind of guy that Jarvis, he's got a D lineman, and, you know, he's backtracking, and instead of laying off, he pancakes him, finishes him.
That
right?
makes a difference. All the world and difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the kind of edge. So, you know, yeah, I don't want to say that, you know, every other NFL team is not drafting tough guys, because you got to be tough to be in the league, but I think the edge part is really kind of what we're talking about.
And the names. If DeMonte KZ becomes a safety, it's a great safety name. Nothing else, Jarvis. You got Keanu O'Neal, DeMonte KZ. You just got KO'd by KZ.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. Man can dream, Arthur.
You looking for a Key and Peele skit?
Maybe.
Sounds like a talk show, name of a talk show.
Barkevious Smoochie Wallace. But and then we drafted again, if you're following Drake football, I say to you,
I'm sorry, Drake. I like Drake.
No, not that Drake.
No?
But we got a tight end from Drake.
Started from the bottom, now I'm here.
Eric Saubert? Or is it French and pronounced sorbet, like a nice dessert? Anyway, a guy caught
Saubert,
190 passes for 2,200 yards and 21 touchdowns. And Dimitrov described him as a guy that can move, athletic, and can shake people.
Mm.
So, sorry, I'm a method actor. I shake people. Hey, guys, it's our Falcons Report brought to you by Domino's. Large three topping pizza, $7.99. Carry out only. Every night of the week is your neighborhood Domino's. And as you mentioned, Carl, earlier, then the Falcons, like everybody else, goes and signs undrafted free agents, brings them in as camp invitees. Some of those guys from the SEC and bigger schools you might recognize. We got a defensive outside linebacker, Jermaine Grace, played at Miami. Marcellus Branch, a corner from Robert Morris. Just throwing some of the names at you. Quincy Maugers, strong safety from Georgia.
Yep.
So these are all guys that'll have a chance to make a roster, special teams, but it's a long road. It's a tough road to hoe. But this is where Ryan Schrader came from. This is where Jesse Tuggle came from. It's where Paul Warlow came from back in the day. So there's a chance for these guys to contribute. And Paul, hey, give credit to Dimitrov. He does a good job with this too.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.